This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. And Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And so whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would hear not just the words of men, but the words of God. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight I want to briefly comment on the major themes of Lent. Or to put it another way, I'd like to talk about what Lent is really all about. What Lent is really all about. And there are four things that I'd like us to notice in this regard. And the first is that Lent is about remembering that God is for you, not against you. That God is for you and not against you. Indeed, in the opening collect in tonight's liturgy, we prayed, "Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and you forgive the sins of all who are penitent." And then in the absolution that will come later in the service, the priest says, "Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desires not the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live." And this is, as it happens, straight out of the Bible, a direct quote from Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. Which is also reminiscent of what God said famously through the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And so that's the first thing. Lent is about remembering that God is for you and not against you. And this is true notwithstanding the general penitential nature of the season. The second thing is that Lent is about engaging in a proper response to the true nature of our sin. Engaging in a proper response to the true nature of our sin. Indeed, it's easy enough to make light of our sin, or to focus on the sins of others rather than our own. But Lent calls us to something more. Indeed, in the opening collect from tonight's liturgy, we prayed, "Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. And notice that the forgiveness comes only after true contrition, that is, a true sorrow and a true acknowledgement that our sins are in fact just as bad as God says they are. Indeed, this acknowledgement is indispensable to true confession and the cleansing and forgiveness that comes from God as a result. Indeed, confession in the Greek is monologeo, which literally means to say the same thing. That is to say that confession is to say the same thing about my sin that God says about it. And so we have famously 1 John chapter 1, and beginning at verse 8, where John, the beloved disciple, the brother of James, said, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess," monologeo, "but if we confess our sins," say the same thing about our sins that God says. "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so that's the second thing. Lent is about engaging in a proper response to the true nature of our sin. The third thing is that Lent is about being truly aware of our natural limitations, our finiteness, and the inescapable truth of our mortality. About being aware of our natural limitations and the inescapable truth of our mortality. Indeed, in the prayer over the ashes, as we'll do tonight, the priest says, "Almighty God, you have created out of the dust of the earth. You have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, and that we may remember that it is only by your gracious gift that we're given everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Savior." And then as the priest imposes the ashes on your forehead, he says over and over, "And remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return." Indeed, left to ourselves, death is all that there is in the end, and death is inescapable. But the truth is also that God has provided a remedy for the inevitability of death and offers us something more. In fact, that's the offer that's made in perhaps the most famous scripture of all, John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish," should not die, "but have everlasting life." And so that's the third thing. Lent is about being truly aware of our natural limitations and the inescapable truth of our mortality. Fourthly and finally, then, Lent is about engaging the traditional Lenten practices that the church has been practicing for centuries, indeed for millennia. Indeed, several of those traditional practices will be mentioned in just a moment in the pastoral invitation to observe a holy Lent. And these practices include, for instance, self-examination. Not the examination of others. You do that, that's your default setting. Forget about it, and it has no spiritual import or anything that will benefit you, actually. But self-examination, that is the examination of self, and penitence, that is the identifying my sin and turning from it. Indeed, that's what the liturgy calls amendment of life. And confession, and the receiving of forgiveness. And then there's those practices that are very much associated with what Jesus did, and not merely at some particular time or season of the year, but as a way of life, Jesus did these things. And of course, Jesus himself figures large during the season of Lent. Indeed, the season itself is structured and organized around the 40 days that he spent in the Judean wilderness, when he fasted and he prayed and he did spiritual battle with the evil one. before the start of his public ministry. And so Jesus, with Jesus as our model, we add prayer to our Lenten practices because Jesus prayed. And we add fasting because Jesus fasted. In fact, this is especially a day associated with fasting, Ash Wednesday. And maybe some of you are hungry because you haven't eaten all day. And you'll be looking perhaps forward to breakfast tomorrow. But we fast because he fasted. And scripture study and meditation on the scriptures, because Jesus knew the scriptures and they were alive in him, as we see, for instance, when he did battle with Satan and Satan tested him. And each time Jesus' response was actually a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, if you don't know where to begin reading in the Bible, there are Bible reading guides in the gathering space as you leave tonight on that long black table. In fact, I think there's four or five different ones to choose from. And if you want to get started reading the Bible in a serious way, that's a good place to start. And so, firstly, Lent is about remembering that God is for you and not against you. And Lent is about engaging a proper response to the true nature of our sin. Lent is about being truly aware of our natural limitations and the inescapability of and the truth of our mortality. And finally, Lent is about engaging the traditional Lenten practices that the Church of Jesus Christ has been practicing for centuries, indeed for millennia. And so I wonder, will you do them? Will you do them? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.